Would you join me for a moment of prayer? God, help us. Amen. I love teaching confirmation here at Mount Olivet. In the before times, it was a church basement full of 7th and 8th graders, adult volunteers, youth staff, and pastors having dinner with a few high school kids on their way to choir thrown in for good measure. If I'm lucky, one or two kids will agree to a ping pong match before we head down the hall to the big room where we sing a couple songs, have a little teaching time, close with the Lord's Prayer, and break into our small groups. Missing those nights together has been one of the biggest sacrifices for me as our church community does its part to serve our neighbors and slow the spread of COVID. Looking forward to the day they resume is one of the good thoughts that keeps me going. One of my favorite lessons to share with our confirmation kids is on the second commandment. Do you remember it from your confirmation years? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I love this lesson because I know the kids are bracing for a moralizing slap on the wrist for their oh-so-common use of the word God as an exclamation. I love their surprise when I inform them that adults, and especially preachers, are in fact the worst offenders when it comes to this commandment. Far worse than the OMGs they put in their texts and Snapchats are the politicians who lay their hands on the Bible and make promises and oaths in the name of God that they have no intention of keeping. Far worse is the powerful figure dodging accountability by hiding behind God's good name to lie on the witness stand. And worst of all is the preacher who stands in a pulpit like this and uses God's name to sell some snake oil version of the faith wrapped in religious tinsel. A pastor who dares invoke God's name from this position of authority and trust to transform the grace and wisdom of the gospel into the deadly foolishness of this world has no moral standing to shame a 14-year-old guilty of nothing worse than potty mouth. I wonder if this dynamic doesn't also apply to Jesus's stern warnings about prayer from the Sermon on the Mount. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, says Jesus, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Well, what does this mean for prayer? Jesus speaks plainly. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so they'll be seen by others. Jesus adds, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do. That's us, by the way. They think God will hear them because of their many words, but God knows what you need before you ask. So, when someone like me stands up and says something like, O mighty and wondrous God, abounding in mercy, surpassing in benevolence, hark to this humble petition that your servants might know the fullness of your heart. I think Jesus might laugh, or shake his head, or give me one of these. Pastors might be the worst offenders when it comes to overly flowery prayers, but there's another common danger I think all praying Christians need to be mindful of. To whom are we talking when we pray? Pastors, I think, sometimes, maybe even often, accidentally start giving a sermon in disguise when we're supposed to be praying. We're really talking to the congregation still, just with our eyes closed and maybe our backs turned. But outside of worship, I worry that we as Christians sometimes substitute something a little worse than a sermon for prayer. Sometimes I think we slip in a little trash talk. Like this prayer that might be uttered in the presence of an embarrassed young driver. Oh God, thank you for all you've given us. Help us each day. Especially help those of us who keep getting speeding tickets to remember that all gifts and privileges can be taken away. To whom are we really talking when we pray? Now, all this might have a paralyzing effect on us, might have us second-guessing every word out of our mouths, might keep us from praying at all. We're so worried we're going to do it wrong. But Jesus makes it simple for us by reminding us to just keep it simple. To whom are we talking when we pray? God. God, whom Jesus encourages us to address as we would a loving parent. Just talk to God like you'd talk to a loving mother or father, one you trust. And even better, if you can't find the words, Jesus gives you some. Pray this, says Jesus, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You might be thinking, hey, the Lord's Prayer is pretty flowery. Hallowed, that's not exactly plain English. And that's true. Because of tradition, we've inherited an old-fashioned way of translating this prayer. Jesus taught the crowd on the mountain. The words might be archaic, but they're still comforting because they're familiar. And the sentiment is sweet and simple. So let us close today with the words Jesus has given us the great honor of speaking to the God of all creation. Little translation. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, your name is holy. Help us keep it that way. Your kingdom does come to us here and now. Help us see it and build it. Your good will is done among us and in heaven. Help us to hear and obey. Continue to provide all that we need to live in this world and teach us to share. Forgive us as we forgive each other, and do not let us be tempted to stray from your love, but rescue us from that and all other evils. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.